you've got a Bible, then do switch it on or grab it and turn and open up to Ephesians chapter 2. That's where we're going to be for the next little while. I'm going to speak for maybe 15 minutes, and then we're going to get on to talk about small groups. We wanted to start off this new season of our life together as a church, preaching through our church values. We wanted to preach through what makes us, us? What is our DNA as a church? Who are we? Who do we want to be? And we've kind of crafted six values that we feel kind of make us, us. And it goes like this. We want to be an authentic community of extravagant worshippers shaped by the word, moving in the spirit, driven by prayer, and serving our community. This is who we want to be as a church. And actually, friends, this is who I want to be. This is who I want to be as a follower of Jesus. I want to be part of an authentic community. I want to be an extravagant worshiper shaped by the word, moving in the spirit, driven by prayer and serving my community. That's who I want to be. These are our values. This is our DNA. And what we're going to do is each week, we're going to just talk about one of these values for the next 5 or 6 weeks. And so today, we're just going to start at the top. What does it mean to be an authentic community? And over the next 10, 15 minutes or so, this is my point. This is my take-home point. An authentic community is one that is shaped by the gospel story. An authentic community is one that is shaped by the gospel story. You see, we all live our lives according to a story, according to one story or another. And this story, this narrative affects how we view ourselves and it affects how we view others. And I want to explain a little, because that's a bit jargony, isn't it? I want to explain a little bit about what this means by use of this ladder here. This is the ladder of life. I know. And I want to look at just a couple of stories that we believe as people, as Christians, a couple of narratives. And the first one is a story that you would have heard a lot. It was the slogan of a L'Oreal campaign, and it goes, "You're worth it." This is a story the world wants us to believe. You are worth it. You're awesome. You're strong, you're powerful, you are brave. As Chandler Bing had piped into his ears in that episode of Friends, you are a strong, confident woman. You're beautiful. You can do it. And what this gives us, wonderfully, is it gives us a very high view of ourselves. On the ladder of life, we are at the top. This is where we are. That is not going to work. We are right at the top of the ladder of life. We can do it. We can smash parenting. We can smash education. We can nail it. We can do it. You're worth it. The problem is, it tends to, when you're at the top of the ladder, give you quite a low view of others. Because you think you're amazing. You're the best parent. And so when you go to school and you see those parents perhaps doing stuff you wouldn't necessarily do. The guy who maybe spends a bit too much time in the pub. The addict. The one who's clearly not smashing life the way you are, the way the world tells you are. We look down on them, right? Because we're at the top and they ain't. And there are a few effects of this. One is obviously pride. We can't see our flaws, can't see our failings, can't see our weaknesses. And we know pride comes before a fall, don't we? It also has the effect of a lack of compassion. We don't actually get to know why people are the way they are, why they struggle with the things they struggle with, why their hurts, their pain. We don't bother with that. We just judge. And if we do try and help them, if we stoop that low, it's very much I've got it sorted and I'm coming to save you because you haven't. And then, of course, there's the fear of being found out. Because although we like to think we're at the top of the ladder, the reality is we know that we've got parts of our lives that we're not proud of, right? All of us. And there's this fear that someone might knock us off our perch. And so we put a mask on. We pretend that we are as the world tells us we need to be. We hide what's really going on at home when we're struggling as a parent, when we're struggling with finances, when we have an addiction that is threatening to hurt us and our family. The doubts, we hide it all because we're worth it, right? There's another story that we get told. And this isn't necessarily a story the world tells us. It's a story often that we tell ourselves. And it's a story that often comes from stuff that's been said to us as kids, or stuff that's been done to us, an abusive relationship, or just stuff life's thrown at us. It doesn't say you're worth it. It says you're worthless. And that gives us quite a low view of ourselves. We're near the bottom of this ladder. You're worthless. And if we're being honest, I think for many of us, this is the narrative we feel rather than, we pretend we're part of a you're worth it story, but actually a lot of us are much more down here. And of course, a low view of ourselves, but when we see people who are here, who are smashing life, we have a high view of them. I can never be like them. Low view of ourselves. I'm ugly. I'm not clever. I'm a rubbish parent. I'm a rubbish brother. I'm a rubbish child. My parents are disappointed in me. I'm a rubbish Christian. If the people at church just knew what I was struggling with, they'd never want me a part of their church. I'm worthless. I could never be like them. I can never be as good as they are. I can never be as strong as they are. I can never be as beautiful or confident or whatever as they are. And there's a few effects. Obviously, low self-esteem, which is crippling. There's what I call the fake it till you make it. Because although we might feel like this, the reality is we want people to see us higher up this ladder, right? We want people to see us at least at the middle, even if we feel down there. And so we may be struggling at home, but we put a mask on when we come to church. We don't let people in with the doubts that we feel, the fear that we feel, the anxiety that we feel, the addiction that we have. And then the other thing we can do is we can pull others down. Because we feel quite insecure down here. And we can be quite jealous of the people up here. Although we've forgotten actually the people up here are probably down just where we are in their own hearts, aren't they? And so we gossip. We spread rumors. They might even be true. Someone's saying, oh, they're amazing at that, aren't they? And you just drop in a little bit of, yeah, but I heard them do this the other day. I saw them do this the other day. We just pull them down because we want them to be where we are. These are two stories. Two stories that I think, can you see? You can see. I think we live by. And they're both enemies of authentic community. Because you can't be real with one another. You've got to pretend to be better than you feel, or you've got to pretend to be as good as you want people to make you to think you are. You've got to pretend to be as high up that ladder as you possibly can. The solution is not to live by your worth it, and it's not to live by your worthless. Those aren't the stories that we're to live by. We're to live by the gospel story. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And some of you actually, just us around, there are some copies of this passage because we're going to do just a little bit of group work in just a second. So you might want to follow on in your Bible, you might want to follow on with a piece of paper that around every three seats or so. Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, or God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's so much in these verses. You could preach series on these verses. We just got a couple of minutes. And there's four questions I want us to answer. And what I want us to do is, you guys are going to do question one just in your groups. You guys are going to do question two, three, and four just in your groups. And the questions are these. What were we? What did we deserve? What changed? And what are we now? Okay, just a couple of minutes. Turn to the people next to you and just answer those questions. And if you feel like you've answered the questions, answer some of the other ones as well. We've got to get on. Okay, so you've had a little look, hopefully, at the verse. Friends in the corner, you got the cheery one. What were we? Dead. Just hear that. Paul says we were dead. Now we live in a world that likes to think of people as either good people who occasionally do bad things, or sometimes bad people who occasionally do good things. Paul says it's not that. You are dead. Spiritually dead. And it makes sense. If God is the source of life, and we, by our trespasses and sins, by refusing to acknowledge God as Lord, if we are separated from the source of life, then what does that make us? Dead. But it's tricky. So that is what we were before Jesus. What did we deserve as a result of that? Wrath. Oh, we don't like talking about that, do we? We don't like a God who gets angry. But I want to suggest to you, if God doesn't get angry at us hurting one another and hurting ourselves and hurting him, does he really love? If you see someone you love being hurt, what's the response? If I see Isaac being hurt by someone, I tell you, wrath is a pretty good response. The problem is God's wrath is poured out on us, actually, if we're separated from him. So that is what we were, that's what we deserved. What changed? Grace? God loved us? Saved? Made us alive. You could summarize all this. God stepped in. We were dead, headed for justice, and God stepped in. God stepped in. He took the justice we deserve on himself. He's not an angry God and a good, lovely Jesus steps in. No, it's a God who is angry at sin, but yet loves us and took the justice on himself in Christ. And so what are we now? Born again. Receive the Spirit. Yeah. And how does he describe us in verse 10? God's workmanship, God's handiwork, God's masterpiece, from dead and gone to the masterpiece of God. That's the journey of Ephesians 2. That's the journey of the gospel. That is the gospel story. And so the gospel story, how do you view yourself? Highly. You are the masterpiece of the Almighty, created in Christ Jesus. There is no higher commendation than that. But how do we view others? Because so are they. He doesn't love us any more than anyone else. And so affects what I call a humble confidence. A confidence because we are who he says we are. We are prized and chosen and say we are the handiwork of God. But humility because we didn't do it ourselves. Not by work so that no one can boast. There's also a compassion towards others because we are no better than anyone. We see people struggling without Christ, even struggling with Christ. Okay, we've been there. That's me. That's where I would be if Christ had not stepped into my life. There's a compassion to others. And it all boils down to an authenticity. Because you know what this tells me? It tells me you are a screw up. You have brokenness and flaws and failures and mistakes and regrets. If you didn't, why would Jesus have to die on a cross? And it tells you that I am as well. There's no hierarchy here. There's no leadership or ministry leader and then the plebs below. That's not how it works. The gospel story tells us we're all in the same boat here. So I can tell you, and I can share my doubts and my fears and my mistakes. Probably not with everyone, but with some. I don't have to put a mask on. I can let you know when I'm struggling, and you can let me know and others know. We don't have to pretend. We can be authentic with one another. We have a phrase here that I'm going to keep banging on about. It's no perfect people allowed. There's no perfect people allowed in this church. Just imperfect people who need Jesus. That's who we are. You see, the point of this is there is no ladder. There's no I'm better than you, you're worse than me. It's none of that nonsense. We're just imperfect people who need Jesus. Ladder be damned. And you know, maybe you're here and there's two ways this might apply to you. One is you realize you've been viewing yourself according to how the world says you're falling short of the mark, or you're smashing it and you're proud. And you need to see yourself how God sees you. And maybe for you there's some deep underlying stuff that you need to work through, and we'd love to work that through with you. Just speak to myself, anyone who's been up the front, anyone on the leadership team, and we'd love to pray that through with you. Or maybe actually you have been judging people in your heart, and the Lord's calling you to repent now. So I'm just going to allow a minute, and then I'll pray. And in that quietness, maybe you want to thank God for who he has made you to be in him. Or maybe you want to just come and just in the quietness of your heart, just say, God, I'm sorry for putting myself at the top of that ladder and looking down on us. And then we'll pray and we'll move on. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry that so often I make how I feel about myself about how I've done. I'm sorry that I'm so quick to look, to value others by what they've done or what they do or how they look. Father, help me to know that who I am is not what I've done, but it's what you've done. help us to grasp this truth that we can be authentic with one another, that we can share with one another, we can pray for one another, we can guide one another through hardships in life, that we can be honest when we're struggling as parents, that we can be honest when we're struggling with debt, that we can be honest when we're struggling with lust or pornography, or our marriage is falling apart, Lord, or there's difficulty. We can just be honest and know that we're not judging one another. Lord, would you build us into that kind of community, I pray. For Jesus' glory and for the sake of our town, Wigston. That they might see us as a light shining on a hill, different from the way the world works. In Jesus' name, amen.